First reading is from Isaiah chapter 42. And it says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth, and in his teaching the islands will put their hope." This is what the Lord God Almighty says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place. New things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you."
The second reading is from John, beginning at verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of a natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, 'This was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.'"
Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And then the angels, as they appeared to the shepherds, they said these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth be peace to those on whom his favor rests." As I said to you, it's really hard to find something new to say about Christmas, but I want to think about peace this morning. How many of you have had Christmas cards with the word peace written on them this year? Yep, exactly. Quite a few of you. And it's something that people will seek for. And People will say at Christmas time, oh, if only I had 10 minutes peace, because of the events that go on and the busyness of Christmas. The Bible, of course, has much to say about peace. It says that Jesus is the gift of peace. John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And Paul says, the peace that comes from God, Romans 5, verse 1, says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God was righteousness, peace, and joy, and tells us to pursue peace. And one of the greatest beatitudes of all is the one that said, blessed are the peacemakers. All people desire peace. We all desire peace of one sort or another. Many have achieved what is known as world peace, maybe, such as Alexander and Caesar. But the Romans had this thing called Pax Romana, which said you could have peace as long as it was on my terms, which those of you who have been watching the news this week will know that's exactly what Putin said. You can have peace in Ukraine, thank you, if you do it my way. And perhaps Trump says the same thing too. United Nations work for peace on a global scale, but only one person can give us peace that the world doesn't know or understand, and that's Jesus. There are many definitions of peace. Peace is not merely the absence of war, but the presence of justice, of law, of order, in short, of government. Martin Luther King. And peace can be the absence of war and trouble. Peace can also be the absence of desire, abstinence. If you don't want or crave anything, then you will be at peace, some people say. Some people would say that peace comes from emotional detachment. Having no emotions equals peace. That wasn't invented with Spock off of Star Trek, but came from the Stoics in the early Roman times. The idea being that if you devoid yourself of all kinds of emotion, then you'll have peace in your heart. Some people would say that peace is to rise above dependence on others and dependence on God by money or power. To be insulated from everyone else so that you have the high-rise flat, the penthouse, or the mansion out in the country. That if you achieve this level of contentment, then you will have peace. An Eastern philosophy says that if you empty yourself of everything, you achieve karma and you will have peace. The Hebrew writers of the Old Testament saw it differently. Shalom peace, they said, was a common and is a common greeting in Israel. If you go to Israel today, people will be saying Shalom Shabbat on a Saturday, meaning the peace of the Shabbat be upon you. And when they greet one another, they greet the words with the word Shalom. And it's lovely. Because shalom means wholeness. May you find wholeness in peace. Peace was seen as something positive and beneficial, life enriching, everything that combines for a person's well-being. Not a passive endorsement, but active. May peace be active in your life. May it not just be the absence of everything that bothers you. May it be the positive endorsement of God's peace upon your life. Not just the absence of hostilities, but the positive experience of peace. And we are to seek the best peace we can for our fellow man, for those whom we love and our enemies. Jesus put it this way. He said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. And if someone wants to sue you, and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God wants us to be people who bring peace into a situation, to love our neighbours. Horrible experience this week where one man killed another, we read in the news, who had an argument with his neighbour over a paintbrush. Such is the society we live in. As individuals, we must care enough to bring peace, shalom peace, to our neighbours, to our friends. And remember what Jesus said about who our neighbour was. It's everybody that we know. To seek to bring everything that is worthy to individuals. And that costs. It means giving more. It means loving more. Therefore, we're not just to live at peace with our fellow man, but to do everything we can to make their life as good as possible, to make the world a better place for them to live in. John F. Kennedy famously once said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." If you take that and turn it on its head, it's ask not what your neighbours can do for you, but what you can do for your neighbours, to bring shalom peace into their lives. And then it says we are to be peace bringers, not just peace lovers, anything for a quiet life, but peacemakers. Again, this is more than just a passive word. This is an active word. It's about bringing people into a relationship with God. Now, I know that I can be sometimes a people pleaser and sometimes do anything to avoid conflict, to seek understanding, to construct peace. And what God is telling us is that we must be those who bring peace between man and man and woman, nation against nation, neighbor against neighbor, workmate against workmate. You know, there are always the type of people who seem to be in the center of an argument. They've not started it, but they're very soon in the center of it. Or the type of person that is so intense, as soon as they enter the room, everyone is on edge. Some are carers. C.S. Lewis famously once said that he wrote about a woman who cared very much about people. And you could always tell the people she cared about by the hunted look on their faces. We are to be the opposite. Peace bringers. That when we walk into a room, there is peace because we bring the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Because we trust God for our care and for our future. And face every difficulty with peace and certainty. Remember the story of Christ on the boat with the disciples in the storm. They were panic stricken. Jesus spoke, "Peace, be still." And he brought peace to the situation. And that's what he does in the storms of our lives. When we face difficulties and hardships, when we face the worst possible things, Jesus will come into the midst of them and say, "Peace, be still." But also, to return to those who will do anything to avoid conflict, this is not being a peacemaker. Where there are problems, Christians are to be involved nationally, locally, and personally, and prayerfully. Not just sitting and quietly tutting, as I find myself doing as I watch the news time and time again. But certainly seeing a problem and facing it. It's not peaceful to just avoid conflict. We have to be peace bringers that bring peace into a situation. Peacemaking can be very painful, noisy, messy, but it is good and it is right. And then we must be peacemakers between man and God, as I said. Ultimately, the best kind of peacemaking is man with God. The Bible describes man at war with God, enemies with him, and we are not, when we are not Christians. Colossians 1 verse 21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Hard to think that that's true, but that's what the Bible says. If we're not for God, we're against him. We are enemies of him. Then in steps the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the one for whom Isaiah names Jesus the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace between people and God. Jesus came and died for our sins that we might have peace with God. Peace is the gift of Christ. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." It was this time of coming to the cross. He had peace. He knew he was about to die in the most awful circumstances, not just the physical pain, but the spiritual being separated from God, his Father, from whom he was in relationship from the beginning of time and before that too. His heart was heavy. He was scared, but yet he had peace because he was at one with the Father. He desired that his disciples possess that peace too. In their most difficult times, in their most hideous of times. We don't have much record of what happened to the disciples after the end of the Bible. But tradition says that many of them were executed and persecuted. Some were tortured. Some were executed by crucifixion. But they had peace. By his Holy Spirit, God gives us with peace in the moment of conversion, and peace assures us of salvation, peace assures us of victory over death, peace guides us in decisions of life, peace destroys doubt and chaos. It's because we often do not experience peace, we need more peace in our lives. The thing that the Bible tells us is that sin and disobedience stifle peace. Anger, dishonesty, lies, stealing, immorality, all these things can steal peace. So in conclusion, I would say this. To enjoy the peace of God, we need to accept it as a free gift from God. To cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he seeks to eliminate the robbers of peace in our lives. We submit to his leadership as we follow the Prince of Peace. May the peace of God be upon you and in you and with you through this season. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's take a moment to be quiet in the peace of this building to consider the things that we have heard, to consider whether we know what real peace is, and if we don't, to ask God for it, and if we do, to thank God for it. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have heard or received from me, seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen.